You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our Thursday visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Let's start with the president's first trip across the Atlantic in London for the G20 summit. He had a series of meetings on Wednesday and then the summit itself here on Thursday. More than $1 trillion from the 20 nations headed to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The president also getting a chance to meet with other world leaders. What's your take on his performance thus far?
Well, I think it's less so much the performance than the substance of the meetings. And this is where Americans are going to raise some eyebrows. The president has talked about the need to cut back on key programs, as well as tighten our belts at home in dealing with our own economic crisis. And yet, $1 trillion to international organizations, that both of which have been having some black marks in their record in the last few years, cannot really look good. The very fact that you led with that question, Greg, tells me that this is the big story that has so far come out of the G20 summit. And in that regard, however the president looks in his news conferences, his meeting with the Queen, or the conversations with other world leaders has to pale in comparison.
John, Obama and Prime Minister Gordon Brown of Great Britain were hoping to get other world leaders to really commit to stimulus spending for the world economy. It doesn't seem like they got their way on that.
It certainly doesn't, because they ran into a brick wall by the name of Angela Merkel, the German chancellor herself, until recently president of the European Community, is foursquare against that kind of spending. She did not want to have a stimulus package in Germany. She agreed to it in part because her government is in a grand coalition with socialists, but she is now firmly drawing the line and going back on Germany's past as a nation that does not like to go into debt, and when it does, makes plans for paying off debts. I think that is a very significant factor to be noted here.
John, let's talk about the big fight up on Capitol Hill right now. We've talked about it throughout this hour on Dateline Washington, but your thoughts as the House gets prepared to pass the Democratic version of the budget for fiscal year 2010, carrying a $3.6 trillion price tag and massive reforms being called for in health care, education, and energy.
Well, I had breakfast with Congressman Eric Cantor of Virginia, the Republican whip in the House and hence the number two Republican in its House leadership. He said all of those programs are things that rely more on government and enhance the role of government than the Republican alternative budget would, which would give more incentive to business as well as to private sector initiatives in those endeavors. What will be most interesting to watch about the budget is Republicans seem to find their voice as the party of smaller government, lower spending, when they voted unanimously against the Obama stimulus package and 11 Democrats came over. It will be very interesting to see if they can do the same in the budget and bring over more Democrats. I might add, Congressman Cantor told me that MoveOn.org and some of the left-of-center groups are working feverishly to bring over the Blue Dog Democrats to see that there's no slippage. Someone must be a little worried.
John, real quickly, the Republican alternative over 10 years only called for $4 trillion less spending. I believe it was 41 to 37 a trillion, although obviously how they allocate that money is drastically different than the Democrats. Will Americans be impressed with that differential in the price tag?
It all depends on how Republicans explain it. If they point out that that money is invested more in individuals and in the private sector rather than in government programs and public sector jobs, yes, I believe they can succeed with it. But once again, we get back to the issue that seems to be the Republicans' dilemma right now, and that is being able to communicate their message. They have really just been struggling in that department, and the Republican idea machine has to get churned up again. Time will tell.
John, let's move on to some domestic politics of a different sort, and that's the special race in New York's 20th congressional district. The seat was vacated by Kirsten Gillibrand, who was selected by the governor to replace Hillary Clinton in the Senate. It's a Republican district that has voted Democratic recently. Special election on Tuesday, essentially a dead heat with the Democrat Murphy just a couple dozen votes ahead of the Republican Tedisco, but there's still several thousand absentees to be counted. What do you make of that?
Well, the fact that it was so close is very significant. This district, in terms of registration, is the most Republican of congressional districts in New York, and was in Republican hands for 28 straight years before Gillibrand's election. That said, Jim Tedesco, the Republican candidate, minority leader in the state assembly, ran a very weak campaign, only saying in the end he would have voted against the stimulus package and never really attacking the notorious union-backed card check program that Democrats so came out for. That said, in the twilight days of the campaign, Catholic churches were leafleted showing the candidate's difference on abortion, Tedesco being strongly pro-life and Democrat Murphy being pro-choice, and there was a strong reaction against Democratic Governor David Patterson's budget, which was the largest in state history at a time when the state is $16 billion in debt. That said, it went down to a photo finish. 10,000 absentee ballots and overseas ballots remain to be counted. My guess is that Republican Tedesco will be dragged over the finish line.
Last 30 seconds, real quickly, John, the Justice Department dropping the case that it actually received a conviction on last year against longtime Alaska Senator Ted Stevens.
The Justice Department made a terrible mistake pursuing this case, and the judge committed a travesty of justice by not ordering a mistrial immediately. That said, I'm glad for Ted Stevens' family that he's almost achieved vindication and the cloud is off his head, but he lost his Senate seat by 1.25% of the vote last year, and one has to ask, after all of this, what former Secretary of Labor Ray Donovan asked. Where does he go to get back his good name?
John, unfortunately, that's the last word. Thanks so much for being with us.
Here in the nation's capital, as it's never boring, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.